translate my expertise into jargon to impress officials and confuse citizens.
Julian Argeman on the Janice Adams Show, Saturday at noon.
I chose an autumn theme today. There are so many great tunes from the American Songbook that have been written about the season.
Join us as we close out the fall season on Sunday Stage with Autumn Serenade, a great jazz piano performance by Bill Mays, recorded live in Homesdale. That's Sunday evening at 7, only on Radio Catskill's Sunday Stage.
Remember, Sunday Stage brings you live local performances and cultural performances as well as musical performances every Sunday evening at 7 right here on Radio Catskill. Stay tuned. Coming up in just one moment, it's time for the local edition.
Support comes from the Narrowsburg Union, featuring the 2021 Holiday Market, Saturdays 10 to 6 and Sundays 10 to 4 through December 19th. And Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. From The DeBruce in Livingston Manor, New York, an award-winning restaurant and internationally recognized hotel overlooking the Willowemic Valley. TheDeBruce.com.
Good evening. Welcome to the local edition. This is news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with us. And we've got a lot to talk about tonight. It's been a while since we've heard from Eugene Thalman. You know, he's a nutrition educator as well as a farmer himself. Our own Meg Duff spoke to Eugene earlier today. We'll be finding out about his upcoming class that he's doing. That's still to come. We have lots to talk about as well of the special statement that was just put out by Sullivan County Public Health due to the major spike of COVID-19 cases that we're in the midst of right now here locally, regionally, and nationally. We'll be going over those details again at the end of the program. But right now, it is Friday on the local edition. Every other Friday, we check in with Shawangunk Journal reporter Chris Rowley to see what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. And Chris is talking on the phone with us right now, live with us. How are you doing, Chris, tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm going to be going down taking pictures of Christmas lighting tonight, which is Doug Rawls's amazing light show on the eastern side of Ellenville. But right now, I think we have to talk COVID. Unfortunately, this is not going away, as we've all learned by this point. And the graph is not looking good. And I just heard that thing about Sullivan County, too. And you may know this, but Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan issued a state of emergency just a few days ago.
We did know that, and I heard that at the beginning of this week, and that's why, like, the past few days I've really been looking forward to this conversation with you, because I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about that. I guess first let's get the basics of it, and then I'm wondering how people locally are reacting, if you're able to tell. But what was the state of emergency, and what was the idea behind declaring it?
Well, I think it's just that there's a steep uptick in cases, and this is despite the fact that we've just about got herd immunity in terms of vaccinations. So I don't know how many of these are, cases pushing through the vaccines or not, but we've got a lot of cases. It looks very much like the spike that we had last year at the end of November. Only this time coming from a slightly lower base, but rocketing up now, perhaps just dropping off a bit. But, you know, remember the population this year opposed to last year, the major difference is most people have had at least one vaccine dose. Many people in Ulster County have had two, plus a lot of us older folks have had the booster as well. So this is all super concerning. And of course, in the background is the Omicron variant with all the mysteries attached to that. Where has it come from? You know, is it, it appears to be more infectious by a long way than the Delta. Is it more dangerous? You know, and once again, we're left with this seemingly endless series of problems and conundrums related to this dreadful virus. So immediately, for Sullivan County people should know that in Wawarsing, the active cases are now 60. We've had a couple more fatalities recently, so we're now at 12. And, you know, these numbers are tragic for us, but, you know, when contrasted with the numbers from big cities, of course, they're minuscule. But that's what we would expect, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to play them down at all, but what I think we all need to take away from this is be careful. Wear masks indoors if you're with people you don't know and you don't know whether they've been tested or not. And for heaven's sake, get vaccinated if you haven't been.
Yeah, the fact that you said that, I'm actually just going to pause from the interview for a moment and just say out loud what I'm kind of thinking here and what I'm feeling, which is just, I just want to point out for you listening right now at home that like we've got to get this information to you that this is the reality of where we're at right now. And because we've been dealing with this pandemic for so long, it's so easy for so many of us. I'm speaking for myself now. So easy for me to, you know, overlook that we're still in the midst of it. And so that's why it's important to share these numbers to get this information out there. That said, I don't want to panic anybody. And it's real easy to panic people because I think a lot of us are, for lack of a better word, kind of damaged on this whole thing. Like, we've all been affected by it. There's a lot of emotion tied in with going through this ongoing pandemic, whether it's frustration or anger or sadness or whatever. So I'm just pausing just to say, like we've got to tell people how serious this is because that's our job and people need to know if we're going to have a decent public response to it. But we also have to be realistic about, you know, some things are better than they were this time last year. And as much as, you know, at least the vaccines are out there, not everybody's getting them, unfortunately, which is a big part of the problem, but at least that much is better, I would say. Anyway, just wanted to stop and say that for a moment, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, that's you're making the crucial point. We have to cover this. People, you know, we're all tired of it. I mean, I can't tell you how tired I am of having to put a mask on all the time when every time I go to a meeting or go into a shop or whatever, right? You know, I mean, it is totally, totally tiresome. But I'm going to continue to do it because I don't want to get this. And everything I have learned about this particular virus tells me I don't want to get it in any shape or form. Long COVID, the complications involved, what it does to various organs. I mean, we just don't know very much about it yet. Could it be something like, say, the chickenpox virus, which can come back many decades later and give you shingles? And then there's a possibility that this virus sets off the chickenpox virus, right, to give you shingles. You know, these sorts of little details are just all grim, and they are very good reasons why you want to be masked when appropriate, and you want to be vaccinated if you possibly can. And we just have to sort of pay attention to it because the alternatives aren't good.
No. And there's still, as you're saying there, when you get into issues like long COVID, that just underscores so much about this that we still don't know. We don't know what this or that variant is going to do. We don't know what variant might come along next. We don't know fully yet what the full long-term effects are, even what long COVID exactly is. But the other reason to be careful, and part of the statement from Sullivan County Public Health, our own public health director, Nancy McGraw, is pointing out that out of the people that are being hospitalized now due to this in our area, which again, you're right, a small amount of folks compared to other areas, but it's big for us here. About 80% of those folks are unvaccinated, and the remaining 20% who end up needing hospital care are partially or fully vaccinated, who have underlying health conditions. And that's when they're talking about obesity, hypertension, asthma, COPD, diabetes, things like that. So the breakthrough percentage is small, but, you know, it breaks through worse for people that have those other conditions. That's another thing for people to be wary of. Chris, there in Ulster County, and also in this statement is the realization that Sullivan County, too, dropped its emergency declaration in midsummer. But then it was reinstated by the end of the summer. So I guess that's what happened in Ulster County, that the emergency declaration was dropped and then just was reinstated this past week. Was there any idea of what comes with that? Were there any protocols put in place or any like, well, now that we've declared this, you have to do this? Or is this just to prepare to get resources that are needed to deal with any potential emergency?
Well, there's a number of things that Pat Ryan, getting going. A lot of it's up in Kingston. They've restarted the use of a facility in Kingston to turn it into a vaccination center and booster center. They've put out a call in late October for medical volunteers because they realized they were going to be, you know, needed to ramp up the vaccination efforts. So there were a number of things, and then the case numbers began to climb, and the graph took on a rather steep angle to it, looking very much like last year. And with that in mind, I think the county executive thought, "Well, it's time to do this." And what other details will come down about what that means, I haven't heard yet, but I'm sure there will be more. Meanwhile, as you said, I think that rule, that 80-20, 80% of these cases are people who aren't vaccinated, 20% are breakthrough cases of people who are partially vaccinated or completely vaccinated but have some underlying health condition which makes them, vulnerable. People who are fully vaccinated and in reasonable health are pretty much safe, as we've heard from Dr. Fauci and everyone else at the national level. But, this continues to bubble along because we still have that pool of people who aren't vaccinated. And we're just looking out to the rest of the world from our little corner here in the Catskills, right, that, in a way, is the real problem because there are vast areas, Africa, India, wherever, right, that have very low vaccination rates where this virus can circulate, turn into another variant of some kind, and return to us. And until, unfortunately, we track it all down and kill it everywhere, as we did with smallpox and polio and so on, we're going to live with this. You know, this is just the way it's going to be. And I'm not looking forward to that.
No, and that's another disappointing side of this whole thing, but being able to live with it, of course, being able to live with it would be better than this being caught off guard by emerging variants that impact us this seriously. So even if we're stuck with it for the rest of our lives, if it's manageable like the flu, you know, that's still better than what we've got now, which is just this kind of limbo, unfortunately. So
right, with occasional outbreaks of chaos, you know. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Chris. Yeah, anything else on this issue where you are? Did you get any feeling for just how regular folks are reacting in Ulster County, how they're handling this?
At this point, you know, I think there's a general fed-upness with it, with masking and the rest of it. I have noticed that people are... I've returned to the masks in many cases, but I think everybody is really sick of them. At the same time, everybody's aware that the alternative is very grim. So that's one thing I'm seeing. And when I talk to people, there's just an eye roll and a shrug, and it's sort of like we're in the, what can we say? We're in the second year of what? A 10-year war, 5-year war, something like that, you know, and, there's a long road ahead, and let's not get down too much just yet.
Okay. So along those lines of maybe taking a break, at least in the middle of this segment from COVID, town of Wolborsing had a public hearing on cannabis dispensary that's going up in town. Is this the big one that we've been talking about?
No, this was a kind of a public hearing before the public hearing. This was a hearing for the hearing. But it did bring out both sides in a different and interesting way. For the side that is against, that wants the town of Worthing to opt out of having dispensaries and so on, the secretary of St. Andrew and St. Mary's Church read a letter from, the Reverend Ken Riello, the priest, basically, listing out the objections to cannabis legalization from that side, it hasn't changed, you know, put it that way. Then on the other side, there was a lady came forward, a similar age, which surprised me a little bit, but said that she was very much in favor of having cannabis dispensaries in the town. She wasn't sure of the details of how it's all going to happen, and I had to try to tell her that, you know, nobody does at this point, because those rules are being created even as we speak by the Cannabis Control Board, who have a mountain of work ahead of them. So anybody who's listening to this, don't be expecting rules, regulations, permissions, and so on to be appearing any time too soon. Not until maybe even this time next year will we see any real news on that, because there's so much work to do, and it's complicated. But anyway, she made a couple of interesting points, this lady. She said that for, you know, her age group, it wasn't about getting high, it was about relaxing, relaxation. And that is an interesting aspect of this. And she also made another point, which is that herself and her friends, they don't smoke. This is not a smoking thing. This is a, you know, edibles or drinks or whatever, right? It's not smoking weed in the classic fashion. So, you know, right there we could see some changes, some nuance in the issue.
Yeah, a further insight into changing times.
Indeed. You know, and this is something that I'm very interested in. I've been following a little bit. Because I read something some time back that said that major players in the consumer drinks market, we're talking Nestle, we're talking InBev, they're the ones, I think they own Budweiser, Saab Miller, South African brewery that owns Miller and Coors, I believe, they are looking at cannabis beers. Now, very low in the alcohol, and not that much THC either. So, and the genius of this idea, as I understood it, was that rather than selling you a couple of Bud Lights with your hamburger and fries for dinner, they'd sell you three of these beverages, and you would be less impaired and able to drive home safely. Well, that means they would have added 50% to the number of fluid ounces they could sell you.
Yeah. While being able to point to some degree of public good, I think really this angle that you're talking about here is just an instance of common sense. The market showing the common sense of knowing that if you're not on the new train when it gets rolling, you're on the tracks.
Right, and these companies didn't get to be as huge as they are and as profitable while sort of sitting around on their hands. And this is capitalism. This
yes.
is capitalism. It's not going to let what they might see as you know, beginning now as a thin end of the wedge, but something that could turn into a huge market. They're not going to let it go away unattended. It's not going to be something they ignore.
Absolutely.
And it'll change our view of this particular you know, intoxicant. Whereas, but now we all just think of people lighting up doobies and joints and so on, or the bong.
Right.
We think of that. Well, that may all just become old ancient history. That may kind of fade away and be replaced by, I don't know, snuff, drinks. You know, that kind of thing may take its place. So the whole pattern may change within a decade, you know, and we'll have to see, you know.
Okay.
I think an analogy here, if you think back 20, 25 years to microbreweries, Remember that term?
Yeah.
The first few were like unusual, you know, and you saw these.
Well, in some places they were illegal until fairly recently too. Like you know, that's another cultural shift that you're identifying there.
Yeah, absolutely. And now I go into, say, Aroma Time Bistro or Tony and Nick's in Ellenville, right, and they've got three new taps. You know, and they've got all these other things up on the board, and you've never heard any of them, and it's like a contest for the cutest name that someone can come up with for a beer, you know.
If I stop at the gas station on my way home in Youngsville, the gas station is 5 minutes away from this radio station, I could get beer from one of two different breweries in nearby Livingston Manor. Like, it's everywhere.
That's it. So we've had this revolutionary change. And whereas, you know, 30 years ago, almost all the beer sold in the United States was that, you know, yellow, Budweiser, Coors, whatever, you know, very mild, very low hops quality lagers. Now, I know people who like to swap IPA stories, you know, and that's the kind of dramatic change that can creep up on you and then suddenly, bang, it's all changed. You know, and we may be looking at something like that with cannabis too. So anyway, that's what they came up. That was where they were last night. I don't know that anybody's mind on this subject will ever be changed, but we look forward to the actual public hearing, the next town board meeting, because they have to. They're going to opt out. They have to get that done by December 31st.
Okay, and Chris, before we go, we've got another minute here. If you could just talk real quick now about, it's not a tree lighting that you're going to be taking pictures of. It's just lighting up the community.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Doug Rolls, who is an elephant character and a great guy, has an obsession with creating one of the largest light displays on the face of the earth, and he's taken over the backyards of his neighbors' homes. He's covered his own empty lot with everything under the sun, wheels and, you know, Santa Claus and airplanes. And it's mind-boggling. And he works on it all year long, gathering stuff. He drives all over the place to pick up more lights. And he has a technical helper. And tonight it's lit up now. And I'm going down in a moment to take some photos. And we'll put them up on our News Atomic site and if I can get a good enough one, we'll put it in the paper.
Okay,
it's a trip.
Well, something maybe take a break, find something cheerful to take pictures of there. That's not a bad idea. Chris Riley, Shongunk Journal. I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us here on your Friday evening.
Hey, good to be with you.
Take care now. Thank you. This is a local edition. News and information is keeping you connected in the Catskills of Northeast Pennsylvania. We're going to be right back.
Remember when you started listening to public radio? A whole world opened up with all these different voices, and you were all ears. Hey, I'm Elsa Chang, and on this NPR station, there is always something, someone new to discover. That's possible thanks to listeners who donate. And now that you're in the know, if you've never given, become a new donor now. Here's how.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, on air, online, on your smartphone, and on your smart speaker.
Welcome back to the Local Edition News and Information, keeping you connected in the Catskills of Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Thank you for being here with us on a Friday evening. And our Friday night local music mix is kicking off shortly, but first, we do have some more news here on the Local Edition to get to. And it's been a while since we checked in with Eugene Tholeman. He's a farmer as well as a nutrition educator, and he's got a class coming up. And our own Meg Duff spoke with him earlier today. Here's that story. Let's try that again. Here it is.
Hi, Eugene. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for having me.
You're teaching a class called Nutrition and Wellness in the Catskills. What are you planning to cover?
This time we're going to talk about like healthful desserts, signs of overeating during these holiday meals, and what are some tips to be able to digest that meal further or better than you normally would without these protocols?
Okay, I'm intrigued. How do we digest better?
Okay, so for instance, I mean, these two fruits are definitely out of season and not grown locally, but did you know that a cantaloupe or a pineapple has a ton of digestive enzymes in them? So if you have like a little bit of pineapple before you have something with meat in it, the bromelain from the pineapple is a protease, which will break down proteins better. So think of like, it's supplementing your body with enzymes to help the breakdown process and then thus the absorption process.
So you're telling me that my mom's pineapple upside down cake might actually be nutritious.
So, I mean, we could make a stretch of an argument, but if you have pineapple upside down cake, you must have pineapple. So save like a little slivers for everybody at your dinner table.
I'm guessing more information to come in this class, not pineapple related. If people are interested in joining, where, when, and what does it cost?
It's free, hosted by SUNY Sullivan County Community College on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock, and it's held via Zoom link. If you're interested in joining, you can go to the Catskill Mountain Keeper Facebook page. I will be sharing a link there for the sign-up sheet. This is a recurring class that happens on the second Wednesday of every month at 5 o'clock. And we're gaining a following. We go into some specifics here and there, but the same flavor is always said, which is pure whole food plant-based diet is what is key to living a more healthful and hopefully longer life. And you know what that means for every individual is going to be completely different because, you know, some people are going to want a little bit of meat and some people really like their wheat. But the main takeaway is if you're eating lots of vegetables, you're providing your body with a diverse realm of chemicals that are bioactive in some nature.
It sounds like the old advice to just eat your fruits and vegetables still stands. But I know for me, I have a much easier time getting excited about eating healthy in the summer when there are all these amazing fruits and vegetables at the farmers markets. And then I got to be honest, in the winter, I just want to curl up and eat carbs. So what nutrition advice would you have for us moving into the colder months?
Well, you can eat your carbs, but what are your carbs? I come in from the cold and the best thing I want is a nice warm soup, hearty soup using, you know, the root vegetables, onions, garlic, cabbage, all these things. And then you take a bunch of diverse dry spices like oregano, thyme, parsley. I mean, everything I've named is something that could be grown in New York. We have a great variety of storage crops available for us. Those traditionally seem to be like beets, carrots, you have storage cabbage, a lot of roots, but also, you know, I produce microgreens and there's more and more people doing hydroponic setups. And, you know, even a greenhouse, you can't see it on the radio, but the one behind me, my plan is to, in January, start doing a round of salad greens. So what you could do is you could take those greens and you could put them at the bottom of your soup bowl and actually let the hot soup cook the greens. And, you know, to get you a little more excited about this, you know, you have that hearty vegetable soup, hopefully some legumes in there like mung beans or chickpeas, maybe a grain. We also talked on the last talk about how to use like a rutabaga or a turnip instead of as many potatoes because the turnip and the rutabaga have unique sulfur compounds, as well as the carbohydrates, our best friend. So you have this nice salad at the bottom of your bowl, you pour the hot soup in it, and then you can top it with something. Say you like a little bit of a crunch, put some dried pumpkin seeds. So now you have like this loaded, beautiful, hearty soup. That's going to provide your body with such healthful benefits. And yeah, that's pretty exciting to me for food.
Eugene, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And please check out the Catskill Mountain Keeper Facebook page for a link to sign up for the Nutrition in the Catskills webinar hosted by Sullivan County Community College.
For WJFF Radio Catskill, this is Meg Duff.
Well, Well, thank you so much, Meg Duff, for working on that story and all the great work that you do. Thanks also to our producer, Patricio Rubio. This has been the Local Edition. I've been your host, Jason Dole. Thanks to you for listening. We come to you every weekday evening at 6:30. We do our best to keep you connected right here in the Sullivan County Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Coming up pretty soon, it is time for the mixtape. We are just going to take 1 minute now just to...